The Mountain of Pride. The bustling sound and activity left place to the most serene and calm circle we had visited yet. A beautiful pastoral scene now extended before Stella, and high mountains rose to the heavens even as deep valleys stretched at our feet. Beautiful villages had been built in the vales, and sheep were grazing on the flanks of the mountains. The tops of the mountains were lost in the clouds, and all that was visible from below was a sea of silver. White was the snow covering the mountains, and white were the clouds engulfing them in their mysterious cloak.
"This is beautiful,"
said Stella.
"After the hell that was the last circle, this is most pleasing indeed,"
I said.
"But we shouldn't let our guard down."
As we slowly marched toward the villages in the deep valleys, we began to see things better. Long columns of men were climbing up the mountains. In the villages, they were gathering around stores to buy food, supplies, and climbing equipment before beginning their great journey. We were puzzled by what we found. We tried to question people to understand what was happening here. But we got few answers from the men preparing their expedition as to what they were doing and why. "We need to go up. Everything is happening up there. We don't want to be left behind." One voice made itself heard above all the others. At the central place of the village, a man was speaking to a large group of men. His charisma and self-confidence were outstanding, and he quickly caught our attention as he had done for everyone else around him. "Listen to me," he said, "I know the way up to the mountain. I already went there, and I go up and down as I please. And if you follow me, I will teach you how to do the same."
"Who are you?"
I asked. "Top F," he answered. "The best, the richest and most dangerous man on the planet. I am the Alpha. I am all that is man. Follow me, learn from me, and you can become just as rich and successful as I am." The crowd reacted very positively to this and began cheering for him. "Top F. Top F. Top F." Basking in his newfound glory, the man who described himself as Top F went up into the narrow paths of the mountain, followed by a huge crowd of men. All of them continued to cheer his name all the way up until they disappeared in the distance into the misty mountains.
"I have a bad feeling about this,"
said Stella. A laugh resonated behind us. We turned around to see a middle-aged man with gray hair and a small gray beard laughing at the sight. Finally, after wiping tears of laughter from his eyes, he presented himself. "Fools. All of them," he said. "I am Ruby Teacher. I am the one you should listen to if you want to know how this place works."
"We will gladly listen to you,"
I said.
"But our goal is to understand that place and move on. Not game the system in any way."
"You are wrong," said the old man. "This is where everything is at. The final step of your journey. After understanding female nature, you can now prosper and thrive in this world. That is what all those men are trying to do." Stella and I looked around us to see another patch of young men leaving the village to begin their ascension of the mountain.
"Will they make it?"
I asked. "Some will," answered Ruby Teacher.
"How many?"
I asked. "Roughly 20%, answered Ruby Teacher.
"What will happen to those who can't make it?"
I asked. "They will fall from the tortuous path of the mountains and be smashed on the rocks. They will find themselves hanging from a cliff, desperately trying to hang on. They will curve into a ball in a crevasse and fall into despair, never to be seen again."
"Well, it sounds to me that you are giving good advice to 20% of the men, but not so much for all the rest. What will they even find at the top of the mountain?"
"Nothing," answered Ruby Teacher.
"What?"
I said. "You don't find anything at the top of a mountain, and it is also very small, much smaller than the base, so you will find it to be very lonely. Furthermore, once someone reached the top of the mountain, the next man to climb will try to knock him off, and eventually one of them will succeed. So even if you reach the top, all you gain is endless fear of being knocked off the mountain by someone else trying to replace you."
"Then why do people keep climbing?"
I asked. "You will understand once you get up there," said Ruby Teacher.
"Thank you very much for your help,"
I said.
"But I think it is better to leave early than to overstay my welcome."
Stella and I said farewell to the old man and we parted ways.
"There must be a better way to climb up there,"
I said.
"Actually, I know a better way to do so,"
said Stella.
"There is a cable car at the base of the mountain."
She was pointing her finger at a little house a few steps away. I watched it in amazement.
"What? But why doesn't everyone make use of it then?"
I asked.
"Hey guys,"
I said to the crowd.
"There is a cable car. We can go up safely, surely, and predictably."
The men around us watched us with a clear lack of interest into their eyes and answered, "It takes too long. It's too much work. I want to be rich before my 30s.
"But why?"
I asked.
"Are you all attached to a bomb? Are you going to explode when you turn 30? What is wrong with all of you?"
"We want to beat the man at the top of the mountain and become the new king," explained the young man next to me. "If we take the cable car, we will be too old when we reach the summit and we will never be able to defeat the current king of the mountain. All the young men ignored us and left to begin their own ascension. Stella and I went to the cable car. Inside there was a wheel we had to turn to make the machinery move. At first, it was incredibly hard to put in motion. We had to use all our strength to turn the wheel and the cable car moved excruciatingly slowly. But then, it began to build momentum. The wheel became easier and easier to turn. The cable car gained in speed. In the end, operating the machine became so easy that I was able to just spin it with one hand. The cable car went up into the clouds toward the summit of the mountain. Looking out of the windows of the cable car, Stella and I watched the sea of mist amidst the sharp edges of the mountains below.
"This is very romantic,"
I said.
"I think so as well,"
answered Stella. Far below us, we heard voices. Looking out of the windows, we saw men pushing or tripping one another down the cliffs. Some of them were lying in wait to attack other men as they climbed. Obviously, they were trying to remove their competition, but I noticed that in their effort to sabotage each other, they were not making any progress themselves.
"Those people are so focused on competing against each other that they have completely lost their way,"
I said.
"They don't even know why they were climbing the mountain in the first place."
"They are not the only ones,"
added Stella.
"The mountain becomes steeper and steeper the closer you get to the summit. Those who can't go up anymore have but one fear, that the people below will surpass them. It will close the passages they use themselves to go up, kick the ladder, and prevent anyone to go through them. Rather than to climb up, they bring other people down."
More voices, screams, and lamentations came from below. Looking down, Stella and I saw one man on top of a pile of corpses piled up in the snow. It was Top F. He had sacrificed all the men who had followed him one by one so that he could reach the summit himself.
"This is horrible,"
I said.
"You shouldn't do anything,"
said Stella.
"He belongs in this hell. Have him try to go up again and again for all eternity."
"Fair enough,"
I said.
"I have my own path to follow."
We landed at the summit of the mountain to discover a bloodbath. On the tiny mountaintop, corpses of men were scattered all around. Stella and I had to walk over the frozen bodies to progress to the very summit. One man, the single one who had managed to reach the peak, was there. He was on the ground, bleeding out and crawling towards a stone marker. The very reason why he had worked so much, had sacrificed so much, had suffered so much. He had climbed all the way up there, fighting his way up mercilessly, and there he was, miserably cradling a frozen rock. When I approached, he tried to attack me, to defend his prize, his position, but he had been weakened too much by blood loss and frost. He died. Gently pushing his body aside, I went up to the stone marker. On it were written the words, "I love you." With my hand, I brushed some snow aside that was covering the rest of the inscription. "For now." Stella and I stayed silent for a while. We were now all alone on the mountain. The sun was setting down.
"Well,"
I said,
"after having explored this inferno from top to bottom, it seems to me that all the evil that is done onto men is only what they allow themselves to be subjected to."
"What do you think there is to be learned from it?"
said the doll.
"This is not Gynferno,"
I answered.
"This is Inferno. Just get out of here. Live free."
Stella smiled.
"Let my hand rest upon you, for but a moment,"
she spoke. She stretched her hand toward me. I took it. Slowly, light began to pour out of her body. It became more and more intense until I was fully blinded by the light. From the highest peak of the Mountain of Pride, and from the lowest depths of Symferno, a shooting star rose into the night sky. Too busy building their own hell, most of the men below did not pay any attention to it at all. Deep down in the darkness though, some raised their eyes from the hole they were in to gaze at the stars.